24 years. It's pretty wild to think back 24 years. I was 31. Just about the age Jesus was when he entered his ministry. We had 12 people. 2 kids. God has blessed. If you look in the Bible, in many places, you'll see different things referencing the number 24. There were 24 elders in the book of Revelation 4. That they are around the throne of God day and night, crying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They worship him 24 hours a day. 24 hours, 24 elders. David divided the priesthood into 24 segments, the praise team into 24 segments. The number 24 does have some significance. And in the most part, in a condensed version of it, it's about worship. See, our lives are supposed to be worship. Whether we're singing a song or not. Some of us can sing, some of us can't. I said something jokingly. I said, "Well, you know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if I were able to get, when my voice comes back completely, if I could sing?" Somebody said, "Yeah, that's not happening." Hey, I serve a good God. Come on. You got to love these things. But the number 24 has some of the studies I've read up on them, on the number, comes back primarily to worship. There are things going on with the number that we're going to look at here real quick. The number 2, partnership, cooperation, balance, and harmony. We've been together for 24 years. There has to be harmony somewhere. I can't imagine churches that there's no peace, no harmony in them. The people within inside the church is fighting. "Oh, I don't like someone." You ain't got to be best friends with everybody. Most likely you're not going to be best friends with everybody. But there has to be harmony. I lived in a 6-man room and didn't get along with all of them. But you know what I wouldn't let happen? I wouldn't let room 5B come over and pick on one of my guys in 6B. Number 4 means stability, order, practicality, and hard work. None of this has been easy. None of this happened because we were lazy. The children's ministry. Yeah, I get it. We're not ministering to hundreds of children every day, but we're ministering to the ones that can make an impact. And that's what I believe happens. When we make an impact on our children, we are impacting the world. When you, as a parent, as a grandparent, go out and you teach your children and your grandchildren about God, and you don't have to preach at them. Understand something. Your life is supposed to be a living epistle. You do know the books, some of the books in the Bible, they're called epistles. It's them telling some things on themselves. They're living. Your life should be a living epistle. Your life should exude God, whether or not you're standing on a street corner holding a sign that the end is near. You combine those two, it's nurturing, responsibility, healing, and service. I believe that in year 24, We're going to see such growth, possibly in here. I'd love it. But more growth in each and every one of us. As I've said, I can look at many of you and I know the things that are going on with each and every one of you. God shows me things whether you told me or not. I get to pray. Sometimes when I've prayed, just over these requests, somebody said, "How'd you know that?" God told me while I was up there. But that's the job of a pastor, is to look out at the sheep. You see a sheep limping, it's got a problem. You know, Miss Kayla, she was limping a little bit today. She had a problem, twisted her ankle. We've been here 20 years in this building. 20 years. I still feel like the new kid on the block. And yet there are churches younger. Churches that were bigger and now smaller. Churches that have come and gone in those 24 years. I've looked at when we did the Jesus celebration years ago. We just actually, the second year we just got in here, so it would have been 04 we did the first one. And we preached. There's a handful of us preachers from the county. We got up and we preached. I think there might only be two of us still here. Some have a permanent change of address. Pearly Gates being the designation. Others are no longer pastoring. And others have retired. I will not lie, I was definitely the youngest one there that day. And as somebody described me, I was the violent one because I dared to move from behind the pulpit. I thought, you want to see violence? But in those 24 years, God has moved. We've prayed for countless people with cancer, with other diseases. People in accidents, their family members were called in to say goodbye. On one day and the next day, they walk out of the hospital. Many of you have suffered your own ailments, much loss. There's nobody in here that's exempt from it, to and including myself. When we get to thinking that, well, I don't need anybody, I want you to remember, you didn't get you out of that. God got you out of that, and God got you out because people love you. People prayed for you. The truth of the matter is, nobody pulls themselves up by their own bootstrings, and no man is truly an island. Islands disappear. In the next 12 months, I truly do expect to see many of us testifying of how God took us from something. I fully expect to hear of the young man I prayed for who's an alcoholic. As a matter of fact, I'm calling him here. I'm that bold. I'm going to call him here. I fully expect to see him here, worshiping God. I fully expect to hear a clean bill of health. Jesus said it's impossible for no offenses. He wasn't just talking about you making somebody mad or somebody making you mad. The word scandalon just means a trap. It's something to catch you. The worst ones are the ones we make, aren't they? I thought I could get away with that. Yep, so much for that. I expect there's going to be some births. Don't know why. The Holy Spirit just kept stirring that. So some of you grandmas, you might get to be grandmas again. God won't give you more than you can handle. As far as grandkids, I want them all. In those 24 years, I've watched my three sons grow. Joshua was 6, Jesse was 1, and Justin came along a few years later. As a matter of fact, the day we brought him from the hospital, we have the picture. He was sitting right here in his car seat, straight from the hospital. Most of you have watched him grow up. Most of you watched most of my kids grow up. Some of you grew up with my kids. And it's been thrilling. It's been thrilling to watch you grow up. It's been thrilling to watch you spiritually. I love what Harold said. I came here and I grew up. I know Harold was a believer before. But that was the very first thing I said out of my mouth on the very first message. I'm not here to be your buddy. I'm here to grow you up. God's got enough children. He needs some adults. We're all still kids. We're all still his children, but we can't act like children. I ain't getting my way. How many times do you think I get my way with God? I have to totally disobey, and it usually doesn't work out. I pay for it dearly. In those 24 years, like I said, we've said goodbye to a few people. There's a handful. They're rooting us on. I don't believe they're watching us. That's kind of creepy to me. But I do believe that their testimony of their life stands before, and I believe that's what Paul was talking about, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Some of them you never even got to meet. Some of them had just pretty much got saved real shortly before that, before they left. But in the end, God is still their king. No matter if they had 2 years as a believer. My own grandfather didn't have many. He didn't have many as a believer. Lots of them as a hellion. But out of that, he's got a lot of kids who are serving God. Because he dared to change. And that's what I'm asking you. What are you afraid to change? What are you afraid to change in your life? Well, I just need to be somewhere else. Well, if God hasn't told you, that's not going to work out for you. Because there's been a few who have. I just need a different change of scene, man. Well, guess what, man? They ain't serving God anymore. They're serving themselves. I personally think the only way you lose your salvation is to surrender it. You might disagree, and we're allowed to. But you'll pay for it. And if you never said a prayer and meant it, in my opinion, you didn't get saved. Because I've preached it for 24 years. What about the change? To quote Stephen Curtis Chapman, what about the difference? See, my own grandfather was an alcoholic. I've shared before that he was the town constable and a moonshine runner. He had it dialed in. He was not necessarily a fantastic man. And I have to get back with a cousin who said the last time we were with him, he took both of us and prayed over us. I forgot that. But it meant something to him. So those of you got grandkids, are going to have a grandkid soon, pray over that child. Your children, pray over them. Pray for them. And if they're adults, quit babying them. I had to tell somebody the other day something. I said, you're not helping them at all. You got to stop. You're not helping them. But they thought they were helping them. They call that enabling. You just enable the bitterness. You just enable the unforgiveness. For me, it took sending my can to a foreign shore to finally realize I wasn't as perfect as I thought. And I needed God. But if anybody had looked at the outside, oh, you're just fine, you're good, you're doing good. Internally, I was full of hate, anger. And I still have to make sure I keep that turkey in check. Periodically, I have to have a turkey dinner. Because it wants to come back. See, God told Cain, he said, if you do not keep that anger in check, it will rule you. Its desire is to rule you, and you should rule it. That's why the Bible tells us we can be angry, but not sin. Just let me help you out. You sin when you tear the other person down. That's why even Paul said, you know what? Let's just not joke, period. Yeah. I get what Paul was saying, because not everybody can handle a rough joke. If you're a good friend of mine, I'm going to tell you right now, together, when we're by ourselves, I might roast you. But no, I love you. And I expect you to do the same. But we can't do that always. And I pick on Phil a lot up here. But you know something? And I mean this. You go after him, you're going after me too. He's my friend. If I consider you a friend, no, I've got your back. Or I might be in front of you. I've come to love all of you. And that's something God did in me. Because I really didn't care. I didn't care about other people. I'm like, yep, they make their own stupid mistakes. And we all do, don't we? We've all got the scars, usually to show it. I didn't like people. Because I saw what people can do. And the reality was, I saw what church people can do. I heard a vlog the other day. Tim Tebow, I think, was leading it. I know he was, but he was actually interviewing Jeff Foxworthy. He said, I think Christian people we're our own worst enemy. He said, somebody falls, we attack them. Somebody in the church makes us mad, we attack them. Is anybody else besides me raised chickens from little chicks? I raised 125. Let me tell you right now, chickens are despicable creatures. One of them gets sick, they all attack it until it's dead. I lost more chickens to that than to the weasels. And I lost a few to them. Why is the body of Christ like this? It's because we don't know how to walk in grace. We have to give people grace. Why do they keep doing that, Lord? Why? Why are you so stupid? Because you are. We want to tear up other people instead of lift them up. The Bible tells us to lift them up, rebuild them, but it's a slow process too. Here's something I'm trying to teach a couple of people in my life. I said to one person, I said, here's something you need when you're doing this. I said, it's called a virtue, patience. I said, you've got to develop patience or you'll never be any good. Well, I want it now. I think I should have it now. I deserve it now. You don't deserve anything now. Jesus gave you that salvation. That's the only thing you got right then. Because the Bible also tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm going to talk about fear here, not today, but we're not talking about the reverential fear of God, where you stand in awe. Most likely, we won't be able to say a thing. We will truly be speechless. But I'm talking about the fear that makes your knees knock, to make your teeth chatter. And I'm trying to remember, I was talking to a veteran the other day, and he was talking, I think it was Ray Brenneman is who we were talking about. He was 18 and he was a sergeant. Ray Brenneman is still alive. He's 101 or 100. He's 101. World War II vet. Lives out by Johnsville. He was 18 years old and he was a squad leader. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you understand what that meant. He was in charge. He had already had enough combat experience, and the sergeant in front of him got killed. That's how you get to be squad leader. That's how you get to be sergeant in a war. Somebody dies. And anyhow, he said, I'd take these guys out, and he said, every time I'd go out, I'd break a little twig. I think you were telling me that, weren't you? He said, I'd break a little twig off. I'd chew on it. Said, I chewed on that so they couldn't hear my teeth chattering. He was so scared. That's the kind of fear the Bible's talking about. Not the little goosebumps running up and down your back because you went through something you probably shouldn't have gone through. I'm talking about fear that makes your body lose control of itself. There have been people who have wet themselves and messed themselves. There are people who have lost their minds because of it. We need to have that fear back in the body of Christ. Big buildings don't mean we're doing good. Our building doesn't mean we're doing good. God's the one who's going to judge all of us. By every word, the Bible says that. He's going to look at your deeds too. I don't believe it. Well, these are the words of Christ, so you can go argue with Jesus. You go to your prayer closet and don't come out until you've read the Bible where he said, in that day, the Son of Man will separate the sheep and the goats. The sheep to the right hand and the goats to the left. And the goats will say, but Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we preach the gospel? Didn't we pray for the sick? He said, yeah, you did all that. These were people who operated in a power of God. He said, but where were you when I was hungry? Where were you when I was naked and cold? He said, Lord, when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you homeless? He said, when you did it to the least of these. And you did it to the least of these. A few years ago, we changed. For me, it was a not a revelation, but a God leading on our tithing of, as the body. We tithe. And we began giving more to ministries who were going into the prisons. More to those who were feeding people, clothing people. We give to the clothes closet out here out in Northfield. We give to the heartbeat for every baby. For those mothers that aren't wanting to abort their baby, but they don't have the funds to buy diapers or a onesie. Well, they're unwed. They don't deserve it. You know what? Anybody ever tells me that, I want you to take 3 steps back. Because I'm not lying. I might punch you in your mouth. Like I said, I can be violent. Because that's the only thing I think is going to get people to wake up from that. I've heard it time and time again where somebody got kicked out of their house because they got pregnant. I'm not going to throw stones in here because that stone's not going to go too far. Well, we never did anything. Well, if you intended to it, Jesus judged you by your thoughts anyhow, so you done did it. So let's get off the holy high horse and start giving God's grace. Start giving God's love. There's now a child. When we fail to do that, we are no longer the body. We are a cancerous cell in the body of Christ. That's what we are. We will kill everything that we touch when we can't give God's grace and His mercy. And I'm going to help you out here a little bit. Just because you messed up doesn't mean God's done with you. I love that song, Never Once. I love that song. Never once did you leave me alone. Even when I'm the ding-dong that went down the wrong path. Jesus, you must hate me. Well, if He hated you, He would have never died for you. So wipe that out of your thought. I'm never good enough. Well, you'll never be good enough. So just get that in there. It's God's mercy. It's God's grace that you are able. Grace is something that is so hard to grab hold of. It doesn't mean you can continue just living in sin. But God's not going to be waiting there with the whip every time you turn around. And that's why people have created an image of God. If that was the case, we would read where Abraham got beat quite often. Noah got beat often. I mean, Adam, come on. Every time he had a scene, whoosh, he started it. Or how about Peter? I heard that old Don Francisco song the other day and really paid attention. He's alive. You probably remember it. He's alive. He's telling the story of when Jesus died. He said, I saw Him die. That's not Him. But how He went through this. And He says, but Lord, I denied You. I denied knowing Him. And yet Peter was loved by Jesus. So much so that he was restored. He restored him and took him from 3 or 4 days, or however many days it was, before he finally got to him. Denying Jesus, to Jesus saying, go preach. Now here's where religion steps in. Well, you didn't go through seminary school. You don't know the word forwards and backwards. You can't quote half of it. I don't care if you can quote one scripture. I mean, my goodness, I've heard so much scripture that was twisted and misquoted through the years, and I'm like, yeah, everybody, that's why I tell you, you sit down with your Bible, and I do put the scriptures up there. It's you who needs to sit down and look at your Bible, because I got people running around, I'm still trying to help square away on some thoughts. Well, this is what I was taught. It's wrong. The Bible doesn't even say that. Do you know the Bible doesn't say a lion lies down with a lamb? It lies down with the antelope. The wolf lays down with the lamb. But that's not what we preach. We keep preaching that heaven's got pearly gates. Pretty sure if you reread Revelation, that is our reward. That's the bride. That's where we go. The streets are pure gold. That gate is pearl. The stones are inscribed with the names of the apostles, the disciples. That's why we're here. We're here for all our brothers and sisters in this county. And then some of you live in different counties, and for your counties, for your neighbors, for your friends. They may not attend here, and that's all right. But we can pray. God moves when we pray because we believe. And if you believe and you trust God, I heard Angela was sharing something with me the other day about how somebody in here, it hit them to ask God. They had lost something. And they said, God, where is that? They finally sat down and asked the Holy Spirit about that one little, I've shared, can't tell you how many times I've shared how I've lost something. I lost a screw in a pile of leaves outside in a bush. And it was a screw to the electrical panel. And I looked down, and it was rusty. It was rusty brown. The leaves were brown. The dirt's brown. Everything's brown. And when I move my feet, I move everything. And I said, Holy Spirit, where did that screw go? And I got down on my knees looking in that bush. And it took me a couple minutes, but I found it. I rejoice at hearing things like that. Because it means you listen and you're applying the Holy Spirit into your own life. God cares about every little detail about your life. Okay, so it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. Not everything does. But it says He works out those things to the good of those who are called by His purpose and His name. Everybody misquotes it. He works all things out to the good of those who love Him and are called by His purpose. In His name. Let's finish the scriptures out. Love one another. I do. But you can't pervert it. How about we finish out the rest of them scriptures? I heard somebody the other day. I'm like, I've never even heard you really talk about scripture until you decide to get a little religious. Put on Facebook the other day about all the ICE raids. I'm for them. Just so you know, we have laws. God didn't say you can't have laws. Oh, by the way, the scripture they were quoting, Leviticus, I believe, 19:35, talking about the strangers, is about Israel. And they still had laws. I don't have a problem. We're all immigrants. To include the people that were here before we got here. We all came from somewhere else. Well, brother, we stole this land. We didn't steal diddly squat. It may look like it, but God destined it. And He gave them people, everybody, a chance to turn. Just like He did Canaan. And He gave that to Israel. You may disagree with me, and you're entitled to. I don't care. Don't twist the scriptures to fit your ideology. And by the way, please make sure that if you're putting things on social media, that they are, what's that? Oh, that they are the pictures I heard somebody the other day put on there. ICE raided an entire apartment building, women and children, and That honestly does not look like an apartment I was ever lived in. That's not a picture of anything real. As the president calls it, fake news. I saw something last night that said Gene Simmons had died on the 9th. I'm like, huh, he's from KISS. He was the really evil looking one. But he's also a Jew. I thought, really? Man, they had a whole video of his life and times. I'm like, well, he's a degradant. We're sure of that. But the truth of the matter is, why? Why do people love to lie? Yes, there is. There's a lot of it. But we'll believe the evil before we ever dig in and try to find the truth. So let's try to be careful. But folks, year number 24, I believe is going to be exciting. I believe you're going to see changes in your own life. You're going to see growth that you've been trying to push for. And no, you don't have to walk on water to be able to prove that you grew. But if you ever walk on water, make sure I'm there. And it can't be frozen. I got asked, you might have been in the youth group at that time, Rob. He said, how many of you think you can walk on water? The youth leader looked at me and said, and it can't be frozen. Well, okay. I get it. But you know what? I believe if I absolutely had to, I could. God would make sure it happened. Or he'll make me the best swimmer that there was, because I can swim enough. Well, back 20 years ago, I could. I don't think I got enough wind in me to swim from here to Dave. Yeah, I'm like, I got to take a break. Do my floating. But we're going to go, and we're going to have a meal together. Fellowship. Share the love. Spread the love. And remember, you're sitting next to your brother or sister. A lot of people don't get it about being a family. We're family. And we should all have the same mentality. You don't mess with one unless you mess with them all. And if the devil comes after one of you, give him both barrels. Let him have it. But that's what the devil fears, is the body of Christ unifying. I'm not saying we got to get together and have worship services. That's probably never going to work out. We all have different ideologies. We have different ideas. But that ain't the point. The point is, I'll pray for you. Not about you. Huge difference. I will pray for you. You're struggling? Just tell me you're struggling. I'll pray for you. The Holy Spirit knows how. Amen? All right, let's stand. I personally think some of my therapy is working. I have to blow into a bottle of water through a straw and hum. Yeah. It seems to be working a little bit when I remember to do it. That's the hard part. I mean, it takes so long. I have to do 3 pitches 3 times. And about 30 seconds apiece, so, you know, I mean, 90 seconds. I just don't have 90 seconds in my life I can give up to hum. Yeah. But God is good. God is good, and that's all you ever need to know. God is good. I will bless the food here, and let's just remember to be respectful and honorable on the other side. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful 24 years that we've hit. Lord, as we go into year number 24, Lord God, I bless it. I bless everybody here today, Father. We will go through it as a family. Lord God, we don't always have to be together. All we need to know is somebody's got our back. Father, I thank you for each and everybody here. For those that are at home, I bless them, Lord God. Lord, cause this year to be more prosperous than they ever could have dreamt. But not just in a financial way, Lord, but in their own spiritual growth, where the true wealth is. Lord, help us to lay up treasures in heaven and not just here on earth. Lord, I thank you for moving in our lives these past 24 years. Lord, you've led us. You've showed us many things. You've blessed us. You've held our hands. You've carried us through all the many, many trials that we've walked through. Lord, we thank you for that. And we bless your holy name. Amen.